Welcome back to AppFabric TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs. Today, joined by Dave Cliff, Mr. Workflow Services. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ron.
So today we're going to talk about this issue that a lot of customers wonder about, which is security with workflow services. And so today is going to be a day of architecture, design thinking. We're not going to show a lot of code or demos or things like that. We're just trying to explain how stuff works behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the big parts is just clarifying the story for a lot of customers, because I think maybe we've been a little bit fuzzy in terms of the story in the past, and so want to make sure it's crystal clear, you know, when I can use kind of out of the box WF4, when I should use things like the Workflow Security Pack on CodePlex.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. So we got some slides here, so let's get started here. So what do we see here?
So what we've got here, this is kind of your traditional service host. So this is the WCF core piece that hosts your WCF services. And on the left, you got a couple of endpoints. You got the WCF runtime that basically is built up of the channel stack, and then at the top, the dispatch layer.
Okay.
And the key part in the dispatch layer there is you've got that operation invoker. And that's going to invoke into your service class, so your implementation class for your service.
Okay, so for people who aren't familiar with this, what we're talking about here is an endpoint is an address we're listening to on the wire, or WCF is.
Right.
Message arrives at the endpoint. It floats up this thing we call the channel stack, which is, you know, bindings and encoders and formatters and stuff like that, right? And
exactly.
It gets to the top of the channel stack, and the operation invoker is this thing that says, I'm going to invoke something. What is it?
Right. Yep.
And so normally if it's a WCF service, it looks at the SOAP action and it looks at your service class and it says, that method, that's what I'm going to invoke, and it invokes it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So now in this particular case, so in the WCF case, you've got a number of places in this diagram where you can actually do some kind of security related things.
Okay.
Make security decisions, authenticate the caller, you know, reject the message because they're unauthorized.
Okay.
And so as we kind of step through this diagram, we've got a couple of places. The first is WCF provides a security channel out of the box.
Okay.
And so that's where we'll do the, you know, authentication, we'll decrypt the message, all of those kind of interesting things.
Okay.
As we continue stepping up, we actually get to the point in the host that's called an authentication and authorization manager.
Okay.
And that's actually a host extensibility point that customers can use to effectively just reject the message outright if they choose to.
Okay, so I can take and write a class and I can implement whatever the extensibility interface is,
yep.
Right? And then I have to get my manager plugged in via config, right? And then I say, hey, WCF, if you want to authenticate or authorize this message, talk to me.
Exactly, yeah.
And then in my code, I can do whatever I want to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. You can check for claims, which is a pretty common thing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, you know, you can look at particular users, particular principles, whatever you want to do.
Okay, okay.
So at that point, we hop into the operation invoker, and there's a bunch of other interesting things that WCF provides at this layer.
Okay.
And the first being impersonation.
Okay.
And so that's where, you know, you've got maybe a particular Windows identity coming in on the caller, and you want to actually leverage that within your service implementation and do things on behalf of that caller.
Oh, okay. So a lot of times that's in a case where I say, like, maybe I've got a database in my app and you're calling my service, and but I don't want to access the database with my identity, Ron. You know, I want to access it with your identity because maybe you can access things that I can't.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So I want to impersonate you as the caller and make the call to the database. Gotcha. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, and that is definitely a scenario that we've heard loud and clear, common thing, you know, something that people want absolutely access to.
Okay.
The next is around a separate kind of authorization step that you can do,
right.
And you can actually leverage principal permission, which is just a core .NET capability for protecting particular methods from being called by certain principals.
Yeah, so a lot of people in WCF would put an attribute on their operation or their class and would say like a principal permission attribute, and you could put a name or a group or something and say, like, only admins can call this,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and so with the workflow service is not really a way to attach that attribute to your workflow service, so,
that's right.
You know, sometimes people are thinking, how do I do that? But we'll get to that. All
exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the purpose of this. So in the workflow case, obviously, things are a little bit different, right?
Uh-huh.
So the core pieces, like the WCF security channel, service authorization manager, all of that's there. It's
okay.
Still part of the core pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually at the operation invoker layer that we branch. So this
okay.
is where we're actually going to invoke some workflow-specific behavior.
Ah, okay.
So instead of calling into your, you know, service implementation class mm-hmm. and a particular method for your operation, we're going to actually call into what's called the Durable Instance Manager.
Ah, okay.
And this is the core piece that kind of manages what workflow instances are in memory, because mm-hmm. we're working with long-running instances in most cases.
Right.
And it'll actually control, you know, which instances are in memory and, you know, how I invoke them. So I'm going to go resume a bookmark on a particular instance with
so
that message.
This is a little side note, but I think it's important to mention because I misunderstood something about the way this works, and you recently corrected me.
Yeah.
So when I create a messaging activity, mm-hmm. Like the receive activity, I put the name of a contract and an operation name.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed from looking at the workflow tracing that I can see that under the covers, we set a bookmark with the name of the contract and the name of the operation.
Mm-hmm.
So when a message arrives at this Durable Instance Manager, it knows, oh, okay, that workflow instance is waiting for this contract, this operation, so I'm going to invoke it. On the other hand, sometimes, you know, a message might arrive and it's not waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's some other operation, then the Durable Instance Manager is going to kick that message out, right? It's going to say,
right.
like, not waiting for that right now.
Yeah, it'll throw what's called a protocol exception and
okay.
say, hey, you've invalidated the protocol that we're expecting.
Okay, now, in the case where a message arrives, but that workflow happens to be running at the moment, or maybe it's in the middle of a short delay or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Then we kind of hold on to the message for a minute, or what
yeah.
do we do there?
Yeah, so in that case, we figure, hey, you're not actually invalidating the protocol. Your
okay.
workflow is going to be ready to receive this message shortly.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll hold on to it for you, and that'll avoid kind of the weird races that sometimes exist with, you know, in delivering messages.
Right, yeah, because somebody mentioned to me that if they had a receive in a while loop, it would receive, do something, and then go back and receive again. They were worried that they might lose a message if it came
exactly.
you know, during that loop.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Unless, of course, the thing we were doing took so long that WCF times out the call.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
So there are some problematic cases that you have to watch out for, yeah.
Okay, okay. Okay, that's cool. So I just wanted to be sure. So the Durable Instance Manager is also doing the things related to correlation and, you know, loading the instance out of the database and all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's going to run your correlation queries over your message, calculate a key, and then it'll know which instance to resume as a result of that key.
Okay, so
yeah.
it will load it if it needs to. It might already be in memory, then it wouldn't need to load it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
But in terms of the security, you can kind of see, like, there's a bunch of things here that WCF provides that are kind of gaps. You know, we don't have the opportunity to impersonate within the workflow.
Right.
And part of that's because workflow provides a different model for kind of thread access.
Right.
We kind of want to abstract you away from kind of local threads as much as possible, such that, you know, you program in terms of maybe a single logical thread,
mm-hmm.
But we do all the kind of, you know, thread manipulation and management under the covers for you.
So, and this is an important issue because we've been talking a lot about threads on AppFabric TV
yeah.
lately.
Cool.
So the thread this call comes in on is like an IO thread,
mm-hmm.
and then the Durable Instance Manager does its work on the IO thread, but then when it hands over to the workflow, it's actually a different thread that is running the workflow, not the IO thread, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so if you were looking at some kind of thread-bound construct like operationcontext.current or whatever, you might go, hey, I don't see it there.
Yeah, where did it go? Yeah.
That's because your work. By the time we get to your workflow, we're on a different thread.
That's right.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is problematic because there are certain, like I said, there's certain constructs that, you know, WCF programmers are very used to leveraging.
And the security context is one of those.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And so that's one core piece that we kind of looked at, and we were like, this isn't, there's a piece missing here. We can't do things like impersonation or use principal permission authorization because we don't know which thread we might be on.
Yeah, and those things are actually thread-bound constructs, mm-hmm. right, themselves.
That's
and
right.
So anytime you're crossing threads or marshaling calls between threads, things like security constructs have to have another way to do them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where the security pack came in was, hey, we started identifying a couple of these gaps in 4.0 and
right.
decided, hey, you know, it'd be great to get out something, you know, such that customers could step up and be able to use some of these constructs
you know,
very easily within workflow.
Okay, cool.
So that's one piece of it. But just to clarify the story even further, I mean, this is really kind of a summary of where we feel kind of the security story within Workflow Service Host is out of the box without
okay.
the security pack.
Okay.
So you got a couple of key pieces, and
right.
a lot of these are, you know, settings you can tweak on your WCF endpoint
mm-hmm.
Or on the service host directly. And again, they're all kind of core WCF security architecture that you can go leverage.
So when we say transfer security here, what we're talking about is the security of the message itself in terms of the pipe and the, you know, is it encrypted? Is it signed? How
yep.
are those things done? We're not doing anything special there. Just WCF is going to handle all of that,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And that includes kind of the credentials piece as well. So, you know, how am I authenticating to this particular workflow service?
Okay.
So all of that's handled at the WCF layer. You're free to choose kind of whatever you'd like at that layer.
Right, right. Okay.
The next is around access control. So
mm-hmm.
this is your authorization checks. How am I doing that?
Mm.
So there's one piece, the service authorization manager that I mentioned can plug in directly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do some kind of specific authorization, maybe you want to model it directly in your workflow,
okay.
That's a little bit harder right now.
Right.
And so that's where you can kind of go download the security pack, and we actually have some specific activities that will help you.
Okay, so just to be clear
decisions.
Then, if I want to think about service authorization as kind of a lower level piece of my infrastructure, I plug in a service authorization manager, all the authorization happens before we ever get into the workflow.
Precisely.
It's long done. If, on the other hand, I said, well, I want to make a security decision inside of my workflow, then I'm going to have to use the security pack.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and the key is, I mean, we certainly want to push customers to authorize messages as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, that's just a general best practice.
Right, right.
But we recognize there are scenarios, like you said, for, you know, wanting to make a security decision within the workflow. Maybe you're, you know, checking to see that, you know, someone who wants to skip a particular approval step, they have to be, you know, an admin user
right,
or a
right.
manager or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So we've seen scenarios there, so we want to make sure that we had an option for you.
Okay.
The next is around auditing. So auditing just kind of, you know, making sure that that whoever calls the workflow, that's all recorded, kind of non-repudiation. And that's all the same as WCF.
And non-repudiation is a great term because
yeah.
it's one of these ones where people go, what?
Yeah.
Okay, so non-repudiation in security lingo is the idea that if I invoke the service and then later you come back to me, you said, Ron, you invoked the service that deleted my C drive. I could say, I didn't
I
do
never
that.
Did that.
And
that's
you go,
right.
I have a log. It proves that you did it. It shows what machine you called it from, when you called it, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, okay. And some people might say, well, can I use workflow tracking for that? Maybe sort of, kind of. I mean,
yeah.
it depends on how severe you want to be with your auditing. For some applications, that's not good enough. Others, it might be.
That's right. And you would, in that particular case, I mean, the identity information is not propagated to tracking, so you would kind of be on your own to do that.
Right, right. That, and that's one of the big issues in auditing.
That's right.
Who did it?
Exactly. Who done it?
Yeah, so you want to capture that before you get into the workflow, for sure.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. And then finally, the last piece on here is impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, the scenario of, you know, calling a database on behalf of the
right.
caller. And unfortunately, we don't provide any good constructs for workflow out of the box.
Right.
But that's where the security pack, again, fills a need.
Okay.
And so you can download the security pack and use the impersonation scope.
Now, the architect in me feels compelled to point out that it's probably a good idea to avoid impersonation if you can, right? Because if you have to do impersonation, your service becomes just less scalable. Things like pooling connections to the database, you can't do those anymore.
Right.
And there's all kinds of things about client impersonation that are problematic. I would only do it if I had to.
Yeah, but it is hard because, you know, there are some very, very strong scenarios for, you know, for wanting to do it in terms of ackling your database or your file system or whatever you happen to be
doing. Sometimes you got to do it.
Yeah.
So
that's, but that's the story effectively. And so you can already kind of see, you know, okay, the security pack fits in here, you know, or am I trying to do this? In that case, I need to use this.
Okay.
And so that's, we're trying to kind of clarify the picture for customers.
Okay, excellent.
Now, on the client side, when we start talking about kind of the send activity,
there are
some other gaps that we should point out there.
Oh, okay.
Now, the story for using the send activity today is you can do some concrete pieces of authentication based on how you configure your client endpoint.
Okay.
And the unfortunate limitation right now of the 4.0 send activity is all of that has to be in config. So all of your kind of endpoint information, client endpoint information, and all your client credentials, all the binding settings and everything, all that has to be in config because we don't provide you a mechanism for providing it directly on the activity.
Okay.
But with that said, I mean, there's a huge amount that you can already do with the security or without the security pack. And here's just some of the options. You know, I can set up, I'm going to use Windows credentials for this particular call or kind of whatever your credential type happens to be.
Okay. And we should point out, you know, there's nothing that prevents somebody from writing their own send activity or even an activity. Like, you could create an async code activity that creates a WCF proxy, does whatever you want to with it, and then, you know, sends a message. I mean, you could totally do that.
Yeah.
So in some scenarios, if you've thought, wow, I'm really stuck here, maybe that's an option.
Yeah, it is. And we've definitely had customers do that. And, you know, maybe their service calls are very constrained. You know, they're not trying to create a very, you know, a generic call web service activity by any means.
Right.
Or, you know, they don't have scenarios where they need to initialize correlations on sending a message, because that's another thing that's kind of handled by the send.
Right.
But if you don't have those scenarios, by all means, I mean, it's certainly, you know, easy enough to create your own, you know, call web service specific activity.
Right.
So.
Okay.
But like I said, you've got a couple of kind of unfortunate limitations right now. The good thing is that you can go download the security pack to fill those gaps.
Okay.
So one of the core ones that we've seen is, you know, a simple scenario like passing a username and password.
Oh, right.
So I gather that information from my workflow. I want to just kind of pass it along as my, you know, as my authenticated credentials. Unfortunately,
yeah,
doesn't work so well right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
But we do have activities for that. So.
And then delegation.
Yeah, delegation.
Yeah.
So this is where we kind of start integrating with the Windows identity framework. And this is a scenario that we've heard more and more customers going after. You know, they're using claims-based security. They want to leverage some of the kind of the nice to haves within the Windows identity framework.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is where we started to do kind of our integration with that piece.
Yeah. Now, there's a subtle difference we should explain between impersonation and delegation, right? So, let me see if I get this right.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
So impersonate means Dave calls my service, I call the database as Dave, right? But if the database tried to do something else as Dave, nah, that's not going to be allowed, right? Mm-hmm. But so if I have a case where you call my service calls another service which needs to call another service or some other things as you, then there's delegation has to take place. Which, by the way, makes my security skin crawl. Because you really better trust me. It's like handing me your credit card and your driver's license and say, go party on, Ron. You know? I mean, you better really trust me. Right?
I definitely wouldn't do that.
Okay, so yeah, so delegation, use in moderation,
I would say, right? Yeah. But it is, you know, again, it's a core scenario that, you know, for workflow as this, you know, which a lot of customers use it very, very consistently as this coordinator of web service calls.
Right.
If you're wanting to do that on behalf of your caller, you're probably going to need delegation.
Okay.
And so the great thing is that the Windows Identity Foundation, I guess it's foundation instead of framework,
right?
Uh-huh,
yeah.
It's foundation. Anyway, they kind of formalized this model by basically building out this kind of claims-based delegation model.
Right, right.
And that's using this thing called Act As, which is a feature of WS Trust 1.4.
Awesome. So, okay.
So we make sure that we integrate with that, and so that's if you want to leverage that with your workflow services, by all means, you know, download the security pack and use that.
Okay, cool.
So, and just to summarize, I mean, if you haven't downloaded the security pack, if you haven't used it at all, I mean, this is just kind of a quick summary. I mean, the purpose really was to fill these little gaps here and there, and make sure that people knew that, hey, this is possible with a bit of extensibility today.
Okay.
But
hopefully, by the time this hits the air, I'm going to make the commitment.
All right, here we go.
This is on my commitments for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to get that security pack on NuGet so that you can install it with NuGet because NuGet is flipping awesome. All right, so I got some work to do there. But anyway, it's not that bad, right? Because, I mean, you could just suck it right into your project. You can use it, and you're good to go. And so that's great because now, you know, and all we did really with the security pack is not rocket science. You can see the whole source.
That's right.
I mean, all we did was implement some extensibility points in the way that you could do it. And that way, if you don't like the way we did it, just look at the source and go write your own thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? Totally doable. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Dave, for being with us. Oh, One more thing. So we now have this new Windows Azure App Fabric. We have this CTP out there, and we got Workflow in Azure. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that some people are going to wonder, well, what about Workflow in Azure and security? I mean, how is that all going to pan out?
Yeah. So where we're kind of thinking of going and where we're kind of pushing towards certainly is being able to leverage things like the Azure App Fabric Access Control Service.
Okay.
And make sure that that's, you know, fully integrated both on kind of a client-side perspective, so workflow, you know, maybe retrieving a token from ACS, as well as kind of on the service side. So making sure that your workflow service can be a relying party for and leverage ACS for its authentication authorization.
Okay, and so we're just in the first CTP of this, and so we're kind of, you know, learning as we go and building stuff, and so it may not all be there, but I'm sure you're looking at all the same scenarios or asking like how are we going to do these.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much, Dave, for being here.
My pleasure, Ron.
We'll see you next time on AppFabric TV.